Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the number one professional wrestling radio show in Las Vegas. This is the Mark Hoke Show. The Mark Hoke Show. Going bell to bell with the best in professional wrestling news, entertainment, and lots of Sin City surprises from inside the squared circle. Now, let's get to all the exciting pro wrestling action and bring on the host. Here is Mark Hoke.
Good morning, Las Vegas. What's going on, everybody? And I am faking it. I just want to make that very clear right now. I'm going to hang in there for 2 hours and be as peppy as humanly possible. But thanks for joining us. It is the best in pro wrestling news and entertainment on the Mark Hoke Show. Very happy to have you join us as we get ready to say goodbye to an icon in pro wrestling. We'll talk more about that in a second, but of course I'm going to bring the guy in who is bailing me out today and is going to try and keep my throat from exploding. He is the president of wrestling, and he's going to get my vote for president today, period. Phil Stamper joining us here from Pro Wrestling Revolver and so much more. What's going on, my friend?
Thank you for having me today. I hope you're doing... I'm so sorry to hear that you're not doing that well, but I'm glad that I can be here.
I'm hanging in there. It's been interesting. Very interesting week. I'll tell you about it.
It's always a good descriptor.
Yeah, just, you know, nobody wants to hear about your problems. So, especially when some amazing things are happening today, and I couldn't be more excited about this incredible event that's going to be going on in Greensboro. I wish I was there. I just wish I'd tried to book my flight a little sooner, or else I would have been there. But of course, AEW Revolution is today. Oh, and Phil, after all these years, we say goodbye to Sting and an unbelievable career. It's still amazing to me that at 64 years old, that this guy is performing at such an incredible level. And you know, I never thought we'd see him in the ring when he made that return to AEW. And I don't think he really did either. I mean, I think a lot of people just suspected he was just going to be hanging around and, right, you know, popping up and, you know, maybe whack somebody with a baseball bat every once in a while. But, you know, he's been doing all these crazy spots. And, you know, I had Darby Allin on the show a few weeks ago when they were in town for AEW Collision. And Darby insisted, nope, all this stuff that they're doing, that's his idea, man. And he wants to do it. I can't talk him out of it. And he has just been taking bump after bump. And I can only imagine what's in store tonight at AEW Revolution with him and Darby Allin taking on the Bucks. But Phil, just your thoughts about Sting and his career and, you know, what he means to you and in the industry.
I mean, first, who's going to say no to Sting?
Like, yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, you know, we tried to talk about, no, you didn't. You were like, yeah, oh, Sting, yes, yes, sir. Yes, thank you for the opportunity. Yeah. But Sting, as I got into wrestling, Sting was one of the first people in wrestling that I was like, oh wow, this is cool. I really like Sting as a kid. And it's weird, and I've had that opportunity to be on an event with him before, and just he has sort of this enthusiasm, this energy that radiates off him, but yet still seems to remain so humble by just being a part of wrestling himself. And that makes him a personality that I'm like, wow, this is really cool to interact with him, to be with him, and to see him at AEW continuing to do what he does is so exciting. And you know, I'm sad to see him go, but it's time for him to, you know, enjoy the rest of his life.
Right. And,
I have a feeling this isn't the end of what we're going to see of Sting. This will just be the end of one chapter of this version of Sting that we're going to see.
Yeah. And I remember, you know, I'm old enough to remember his debuts when, you know, he actually started out, you know, a little in California and then the CWA and then moved over into the UWF with Bill Watts. Mm-hmm. You know, when he was teaming with Rick Steiner and, of course, Eddie Gilbert and those guys. And, you know, and and of course also with Jim Helmwig, the Ultimate Warrior, when they were the Blade Runners. And I remember seeing those guys and I was like, wow, you know, they're pretty cool. You know, this is an interesting team. And, you know, then as time went on, I was, you know, watching him kind of evolve out of the, you know, and it's funny that people said, oh, he was never a bad guy. I'm like, oh yeah, he was. He was for a little while there. And as he evolved into the California beach dude and was just that happy-go-lucky guy, you know, I just loved Sting. And then, you know, as time went on and you had that Clash of the Champions build and he finally took on Ric Flair in that 45-minute draw and everybody was just so bummed out he didn't win that match. But, you know, of course, went on to have this iconic career. I mean, everybody just was so thrilled to see him every time he came out. And the way you talk about him, you know, he exuded that charisma and that excitement, and you just couldn't wait to see the guy. And you hung on every word that he said. You know, you just felt like, man, I just want to go hang out with this dude. And, you know, if he wants to go beat somebody up, man, I'm with him. Let's do it. And then, of course, the whole thing happened with the NWO, and, you know, he disappeared, and he's gone, and then all of a sudden he's hanging out in the rafters, and he's wearing a trench coat, and he's black, and I'm like, what happened? Who's this guy? And I'm like, oh, my God, Sting's dark? Yikes. You know, and then, of course, he never really changed. You know, and then the TNA run and all that, and, of course, and you know, I you know, one of the, of course, to me, the most incredible moment in there was what he had to do with Jeff Hardy. You know, I'll never forget that moment. I mean, that was just, that had to break his heart, having to do what he did in the Victory Road pay-per-view. And I'm sure you remember that too, Phil.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, and in there too, my brain was starting to think like fake Sting.
Yeah, that whole thing was a little weird.
And it was like, you know, there was that period of time where it was like, well, you know, Sting was everywhere. He was booked for all their road shows. He was their most popular guy in WCW. He was booked for television appearances. Well, we've also committed to overseas bookings. What if we have this other guy step in and be Sting? Yeah. And it's like, what is happening? And then that was, you know, the burgeoning days of the internet. Fans were like, I don't know if that's Sting. What's going on here? And eventually got called out. And it's funny because a friend of mine in England got booked one time to be Stinger.
Oh, wow.
Dressed up in the same way. And he's like, I hated it. He offered me a lot of money, so I did it.
That's nice.
But, you know, so it was also then, what a compliment to have multiple people dress up as you to fulfill all of the dates and obligations. But just, you know, I'm trying not to think of the Jeff Hardy situation. Of course, now all I can think of is the Jeff Hardy situation. But here's a man who didn't stop. You know, neck surgery didn't stop him, and he goes to the WWE and almost has a career-ending injury again.
Yeah.
And then went on to AEW and has continued. So just, it's just awesome to see what he's been able to do in the span of his career. And I'm interested in sort of seeing what happens next. I hope there is a next, but I don't know what that next is.
Yeah. I, you know, it's funny. He's going to be doing a little toy show here. Well, pretty big show here in Las Vegas about a month after this is over. He's actually going to be here WrestleMania weekend. Okay. So of course I'm going to be out of here. I'll be headed your way for WrestleMania apparently. But, so it'll be interesting to, you know, see, you know, what the future holds, if he's just going to be heading out, but he's apparently done. But yeah, that WWE run too, boy, it's a shame he got hurt, because we got denied the one match everybody wanted. Mm-hmm. That one match with the Undertaker. But
yeah.
And of course the not going over against Triple H, kind of heartbreaking too, but you know, and it was funny that, you know, I still am amazed that he held out that long, not going to WWE. But, you know, it's funny learning all the stuff that we learned about what was going on in WWE, kind of maybe understand why.
Right. Right. Yeah.
It makes sense. But, you know, it's going to be an amazing night. And, you know, and I think that AEW handled this really well, you know, decided to, you know, protect him and, you know, not have him wrestle singles matches. found a great partner to work with in Darby Allin. And, you know, like I said, I got to talk to Darby about, you know, how the whole thing happened, and just Sting picked him out, and they've worked so well together. And it's going to be fascinating to see how this ends up tonight. Phil, do you think he wins or loses tonight? That's been the question that everybody's been asking for a few weeks. Do they win and vacate the titles, or do the Bucks get the win this evening?
Oh, wow.
Isn't that a tough call? Because, man, it's usually the tradition you go out on your back. But, man, I tell you what, I want him to win tonight. I really do.
Now, I'm going to say yes and no, because there have been times you have seen it where that doesn't happen that way. And so I'm intrigued with what might happen. I don't think Sting is going to take a pin. I feel that if something was to happen, you know, Darby would be the one who suffers the fate, right? That it's something that takes Sting out of the equation of it and maybe makes the save at the end, because, wow, it's Sting in here, you know, big celebration. There's ways you can tell the story without having to have him lose, but you're right. There is also this older tradition of, you know, put the younger guys over, and like, you need to be thankful and appreciative and take the pinfall. So I can see that as well. I'm just interested in seeing just how it's handled. Like, you know, that's the excitement of today, and to have it happen in Greensboro as well means so much. So, I fought the urge, the last minute urge. I saw a few people online like, man, I have to sell this ticket. And I was like, I can make it there. I can totally like drive back and I go straight to work in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be a great night. I'm seeing a lot of people I know are going to be down there this evening, and it should be a sensational evening, not just because of that match, but it's going to be a pretty good card tonight too. So, you know, we'll take a look at that as well, as we go through the show, but man, it's going to be it's going to be hard to say goodbye to, you know, one of the really good guys in professional wrestling, and, you know, has just held his head up high and been such a great role model for everybody in the industry over, man, 40 years, Phil. 40 years. It's absolutely incredible. But yeah, so I would recommend, man, if there's a pay-per-view you're going to buy from AEW, I think this would be the one. And for, you know, all you longtime fans, seeing the Stinger go out tonight, and it's not like he's just been hiding in corners and things like that. He's been doing the work, and I think you're going to have a great time if you watch this pay-per-view, Phil.
Agreed. Absolutely agreed.
Yep. So make sure you check it out tonight. AEW Revolution coming up, available on all your favorite pay-per-view outlets. Bleacher Report's usually your main one right now, so check that out, and we'll say goodbye to the icon. Sting hanging it up tonight in Greensboro, North Carolina. So should be a lot of fun. And with that, we'll take our first break. And my hero, Phil Stamper, the president of wrestling, sitting in with me today here on the Mark Hoke Show. And when we come back, we'll take a look at that AEW Revolution card. And we have all sorts of stuff going on too, because The Rock put a 20-minute video out today. We're going to talk about that later in the show. And Major League Wrestling, well, they just got a $20 million bump in their budget. Congratulations to those boys. But how it relates to the rest of the world of professional wrestling is something Phil and I are going to talk about. So stick around, everybody. We got a whole lot to discuss here on The Mark Hoke Show. It's the best in pro wrestling news and entertainment on KDON 101.5 FM, The Talk of Las Vegas, the Odyssey app, and streaming on YouTube and Facebook. Stick around. We got a whole lot more.
This is the Mark Hoke Show.
The Mark Hoke Show.
Here again, your host, Mark Hoke.
And we return to the Mark Hoke Show here on KDON 101.5 FM. It is the Talk of Las Vegas. Highest rated live show on the station. As we, you know, just do all sorts of crazy stuff. That's what we do. You know, best in pro wrestling news and entertainment. And I've got the president of wrestling, Phil Stamper, along for the ride. Put on a fuzzy coat, by the way. You can see it on the live stream there. Phil, what you got?
Since you mentioned the crazy, and you also, before we went to commercial break, mentioned the Rock promo, I felt I had to grab my bathrobe. I felt like it was appropriate to get ready to discuss everything else we were going to discuss today. So in perfect glory, I'm wearing the presidential bathrobe.
Very nice. Very nice. Good touch. I should have grabbed one too.
Oh. You sound great. You always sound great. I think you need a drink of water.
Oh.
Man, like I feel for you right now. I feel for you. You're going to get through this. We're going to get through this together.
My throat has been messed up for weeks. And this is an honest to God true story. And I texted you this, but I have these Vicks severe VapoCool cough drops, right? They're pretty strong. And I was sucking on one before we came on the air, but kind of didn't finish it off before we made it, and I chewed it. Do not recommend. Wow. Oh, what a rush. Yeah.
A friend of mine suggested to me, I think I'm going to mess up the name of it, but it's something like Fisherman's Wharf, and it's a cough drop. You'll not have a sore throat, but everything else will feel like you've just like, I don't know, like your soul just got sucked out of your face.
Yikes. Well, I'm going to pass on that. But that was very interesting. Anyway, so, of course, aside from Sting tonight, who we were talking about to kick the show off, we do have a few other matches coming up tonight on AEW Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
And, Phil, what else are you looking forward to tonight? Because, I mean, we got the 11 matches this evening. We got that All-Star Scramble match. That was supposed to be the meat match, but they just decided to, I think we lost a few meaty guys that couldn't wrestle, so they just threw a bunch of people in there for shot at the world championship. I think this looks like it's going to be Wardlow's night. Is he going to get coronated as the heir apparent to the world championship? But he's got Jericho, Powerhouse Hobbs, Lance Archer, Hook, Brian Cage, Magnus, and Dante Martin. Now that could be a fun one tonight.
That could be fun. And you have, you know, different styles, different body types are going to be all in this match together. I'm intrigued by how they pull off this match. I don't think, I'll be honest, I don't think this is going to be one of my favorite matches on the event, but I'm excited to see how they pull it off. I mean, Chris Jericho, of course, is a legend. You have Wardlow that has this realm of possibility. The fans are supporting him. Powerhouse Hobbs, to me, is a man who's built for the future of professional wrestling. I think we're going to see more and more out of Hobbs as we move to the future. Lance Archer is a beast.
Yeah.
And he needs a moment. He needs that moment to showcase to everybody what he really can do. And I've watched him over the last 2 years develop himself even further. And so I'm just excited to see what he will do. Hook.
Do you like Hook?
I don't like Hook.
Wow. Okay.
Maybe this is unfair. This is from a fan perspective. I am not a fan of Hook. That is just me. I hear the response the crowd gives him. And so, like, he's developed a fan base that's really excited about him. And that's awesome. I think he is outclassed by everybody else in this match. But I think he's going to have a showcase in here where they will give him an opportunity to shine. But I think he's out of his league.
Wow. I'm a little torn on him too, but every time I feel like, what's he doing in there? He does some things that impress me, but he's still learning, you know?
Yes.
I'm mixed on Hook too.
Yes. There's a whole little other breakdown and sidebar in my brain about AEW because I love AEW. I really do enjoy the product for the most part, but there's like these little tweaks and Hook is one of these tweaks that I'm like, give a Hook an opportunity to develop, but not in front of your main audience on television, on your pay-per-views, because he needs that opportunity to develop, and throwing him out there, I think, makes him suffer. I think the fans who are supporting him are going to eventually turn because they're going to see, he can't keep up to the same pace as. I mean, Samoa Joe did great with Hook because of things Samoa Joe did. And I want him to succeed. I just don't think he's there right now.
Let's sidebar for a sec. We can get to the rest of the matches on that. Because I do think that's an interesting topic. Mm-hmm. That, you know, early on in AEW, you kind of had to expect that. They did bring a lot of talent in that was very green, that over time has obviously developed into being some pretty good guys and women. But, you know, now you have such a depth of talent that when you are pulling some of these people in, that you can see that they're not ready. Mm-hmm. You know, what does AEW do with them? I mean, you have such a massive roster on there. I mean, if I was Tony, I mean, I'm kind of torn because you don't want to cut them. But then the thing is that with ROH, it's kind of a weird situation because, I mean, you could put them there, mm-hmm. but you don't have a TV contract for them. And it feels kind of like, I guess for me with ROH, it was always, you know, that was a kind of a separate place and a separate feel to it. And yeah. it doesn't feel separate. You know, you're kind of flip-flopping everybody down there. And I guess I just wish that Ring of Honor, that if you're on Ring of Honor, you're on Ring of Honor. If you're on AEW, you're on AEW. And the twain don't cross. You know, like, I mean, I get mad enough when people go down to NXT that are on the WWE main roster. I don't like when they do it. I feel like if you're going to put people on Ring of Honor, leave them there. That's your developmental group down there. And then push them up to the AEW roster. I mean, am I off on this? Or
I am very much right there with you. When Tony bought Ring of Honor, I actually felt this is what they're going to do because they were getting rid of the darks to make Ring of Honor, and that would be their YouTube product. I was like, this is exactly what you need. You need that opportunity to get people who haven't had that much experience in front of a television camera to understand production, to understand what that means, because wrestling on television is a little bit different than wrestling on a live event. But there's a way to blend it that I think can showcase well that AEW has done well at, but give some folks that opportunity to really develop. And to your point about the mix, I am mixed on that mix of whether or not you put some Ring of Honor folks on AEW television and vice versa, because you want those little, no pun intended, hooks on the product to go, oh, hey, you need to have interest in what we're doing over here. Here's somebody to showcase. So that way you'll be maybe interested to check in on the product. But you're right, to give that opportunity to build a developmental organization and give them that regular opportunity for your regular reps to build up those personalities, to build up their in-ring acumen and go, okay, now we're developing the next stars who will then appear on AEW as fully or more fleshed out personas and more fleshed out in their in-ring ability. That's great. I thought that's exactly what Ring of Honor was going to be doing. And even when they first started, I was like, oh, they're just, you know, they're planting the seed. They're planting, like, look at all these great people that we have lined up in Ring of Honor. So that way, like, you're interested in the product and they'll move some of those people back to AEW. They'll move some other people over into Ring of Honor. And they haven't done that. They've like, no, Ring of Honor is its brand. And I get that. I respect the history of Ring of Honor, but use this as an opportunity to raise up those people, to get them ready then for AEW. They have so many people under contract. And when I say this is not me disparaging anybody or saying like people should be fired. That's nowhere near where I'm going, but diversify them, put some folks in Ring of Honor and yeah, build that product, but give those people an opportunity to showcase and shine, and then focus on the people that you can focus on in AEW to build them up and showcase and shine. Because talking about this match with Hook, the next person we were going to talk about was Brian Cage. And Brian Cage, I don't think has had the opportunity to showcase as the star he is in AEW, because it's sort of like he got lost in the mix. A Lance Archer got lost in the mix.
Right.
And it's like, I see what they're doing, and there's an analogy in my brain that I don't want to say, but like I see sort of the structure they're doing. And I do agree that you don't need a guy the size of Brian Cage to lead your show. But Brian Cage himself is a star, a very talented person with amazing athletic ability. You're not talking somebody who's just walking around like a wall who can't move, because that used to be the stereotype in WWE. You're going to bring up this 6.5-foot guy who just stands there like a big meathead and can't wrestle or move, and like he moves his arm one way and everybody's like flipping around for him. That's not what I'm talking about. These guys can actually go and wrestle. But to our point, there's some folks that like you need to trim a little bit and put them somewhere where they can grow and develop, or AEW. And again, this is me saying this because I believe in the product and believe in the potential it can be. You have so many people, so many intelligent people who understand wrestling and are knowledgeable about it. You have a Billy Gunn. You have a Dean Malenko. You have all these people who are there who are anchors of support for your system. Let them help guide and rudder your ships a little bit, and they're not able to. And so sometimes I feel like AAW gets lost in the margins. They get lost in the blurs instead of focusing on, like, here's the people we want to develop and showcase as the big stars. And we lose then a lot of the people that should be developed and built into their big stars.
Yeah. And it's funny that we brought that up, and yeah, we're going to a totally different place I was going to go, but that's okay. That's part of the fun radio. That, you know, there was a story that came out just, I just saw it today when I was doing show prep. They were talking about that Tony's been doing a lot of stuff last minute lately, and some people are complaining about it, that they feel like he's been booking things kind of on the fly, and, you know, unfortunately maybe pulling a little more Vince McMahon-y type booking style and getting away from more of the long-term stuff, and people are getting frustrated about it. And, you know, maybe that's part of what's showing. I mean, I remember I had Soraya here last year around Double or Nothing time, and I had asked her about what was going to be going on with her at Double or Nothing, and she said, I don't know. And we were talking, you know, a couple of weeks before the card, and honest to God, I mean, you know, I played poker for a long time and studied body language. She wasn't kidding. She didn't know. And I sat there and I was like, huh, that's interesting. And I just wonder sometimes, you know, and sometimes I'll see, you know, for example, some of these matches come together so quickly on the pay-per-views, mm-hmm. and you kind of wonder, are they just booking stuff too quick and maybe not coming up with some long-term plans? And as part of the problem too, you've got so many people that you're trying to figure too many things out at once and just need to sort that out. Maybe that's why Jennifer Fetterman, if I got the name right, bringing her in is important to maybe help sort this out a little bit.
And I've worked with a couple of independent companies that have had this problem. Like, oh, yeah, I want to honor all these people that have helped us, and, you know, I want to make sure everyone gets. Also, then everyone gets a spot, and what you end up is here's a 12-person tag match, and here's a scramble match, and here's another scramble match, and here's a four-way match, and oh yeah, this person's gonna have five people with them at ringside, and not with the intention of not doing anything or you know, focusing. But it's like, oh, now I feel like I need to honor all of these people and just give them something, as opposed to giving them something with a purpose.
Right.
And so I understand, I get that. And you know, AEW is still a young company, AEW, and especially as a television product. And you look at Vince McMahon, and, you know, and outside of other troubles that he's going through right now, here is a person who built television, but he built it over 30, 40, almost 50 years now. And really planted a lot of seeds, of course, and he made mistakes, a lot of mistakes,
yeah,
outside of what we know of, along that way. But he learned and developed and took examples from television. And now, by no means do I think AEW needs to become WWE, but somewhere, I think actually in a drawer over there, I have a copy of a Monday Night Raw script, and it's like version 7, and this was in like hour 2 of a 3-hour Raw, and because that's just how they operate it, because it's live television. Oh, we got to adjust. Oh, timing has to be different. Oh, this has to change. Oh, this person actually showed up and now they're sick. They're throwing up in the bathroom. Like, okay, we got to rewrite stuff on the fly. Like, things do happen too. And, you know, we don't know the full story too behind the scenes of, oh, they had a plan going into this, and then this talent was unavailable. This talent got injured. Something went different. Oh, now we do have a plan because this person is going to do something and when we get to September, so we have to get ready to do this to September, but we can't do this now because it will hurt what we're going to plant for September. So sometimes that does happen. But I do feel like it's a lot. It's a little too blurry and not focused right now.
Yeah, and it's amazing. You know, you keep seeing people get signed and signed, and I sometimes wonder if they're signing people just to make sure that they don't get signed by WWE, as opposed to you're signing people because you really, really want them. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Or that they, you know, they don't end up in TNA or, right. you know, or elsewhere. It's, I mean, and you would probably know better about that than anybody, being the king of the indies. I mean, you know the deal.
I mean, I will say, I used to hate, and this is a more of a reference directly to Impact, and it is what it is. I used to hate when Impact would sign somebody who'd left the WWE because they all would do the same thing. They would come in and cut a promo that was like, that other place didn't know how to use me, so I'm here to make a pause, wait for it, an Impact. And they would go on to have like a showcase match or two and then do nothing for 4 months. And then they were gone from Impact. And I hated that so much. I hated it. I hated it. And they're not quite doing it. There's that, you know, there's things that people will drop and say now and again in promos about that other place. But I'm okay if they bring in former WWE guys, but then don't let them get lost in the bloat,
right,
or in the blur. You know, there's a lot of people we haven't seen in a minute. And it's like, what's going on here? And how do you develop the focus you need on your product to make it to shine? And one of the challenges, sort of as you mentioned, I'm going to give a compliment and a concern, I guess. The compliment is, it does sound like Tony does make himself available and has at a few times very recently also said, I want to talk to you and let's have an open conversation. Now it does seem like he's a little more, I know what I'm doing. Like that, you don't. That I want to have this open conversation. Let's be open about things. And people start being open and like, nope. I don't take the criticism. I know what I'm doing. And it's like, but you have to be able to accept that a little bit to be able to grow and be better. And maybe he is. You know, maybe he is taking it just in that moment. It's a defense wall, and then we'll take it back and like process and come back later. But it's hard when, like you said, you have somebody on the talent who's like, yeah, we have a pay-per-view in 2 weeks, and they haven't really said what I'm doing. Or your merch people, and like you haven't told them like, oh yeah, we're gonna do a trip overseas and make sure you have everything ready to go overseas. That means you have to find a distributor over in another country that can also print out your shirts and have them ready and deliver. What about your press guys and marketers who like are getting everything ready and not just graphics, but also working the press up to get them interested and excited, to get your mainstream media involved in publicizing and putting it out and putting it over that this is an amazing major event that's coming. It's a lot of work more than just, I have this idea that we're gonna do a match and it's gonna happen in 2 weeks on a pay-per-view. Like, you have to develop that. And WWE has fallen into that trap too. Like, they have done that a lot. They've done that the week of WrestleMania.
Yeah,
match now for Saturday.
Yeah, they used to be really bad about that. I mean, yeah. Really bad. So,
And so learn from the lesson. And you know, and like I said, I do feel maybe this is growth and progress. Maybe this is like, okay, we're still figuring all of this out. And maybe to Tony's credit, he tried to bring in Ring of Honor, be like, I'm making it and establish it as yes, it's a new Ring of Honor, but I'm making and establishing it as its own strong brand, giving it its own identity. But I don't think that's really the purpose it could have been used for. Like you said, I really like the idea of that could have been the developmental ground. Yes, put some people there that are really talented, super talented, to help those younger folks up. I mean, and when I say this, I mean this with all due respect. Ring of Honor to me in the last year has been the Athena show.
Yeah.
And I love Athena. And yep, Athena is awesome. And what she has done in that program, especially to like help Billy Starks, you can watch it and you can see it happen. And it's amazing. And I'm like, that's perfect. That's a perfect example of what you can do. Put a star with younger talent and bring up this younger talent to bring them up to a new level. And then look what you've developed. And oh, now we can put them over here if we need them.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, boy, we got it going, Phil Stamper. We got Woo. It going. Oh, man, I may have to preempt the next show the way we're going here. But that could get me in trouble. All right. Hey, we have to take a break. And when we come back, a whole lot more. Yeah, we got a pay-per-view to talk about. We got The Rock. We got MLW and lawsuits and crazy stuff happening. Stick around here on The Mark Hoke Show on KDOM 101.5 FM, The Talk of Las Vegas. The best in pro wrestling news and entertainment and a whole lot more. The president of pro wrestling, Phil Stamper, joining me. We certainly appreciate him being here. We'll be right back.
101.5 FM, KDOM.
You're listening to the number one professional wrestling radio show in Vegas, The Mark Hoke Show.
The Mark Hoke Show.
Now, here again is Mark Hoke.
All right, let's keep this baby rolling. It's the best in pro wrestling news and entertainment. It is the Mark Hoke Show here on KDOM 101.5 FM. Of course, streaming live on that Odyssey app. If you have not downloaded that app, you are a fool. Shame on you. Phil Stamper, do you have the Odyssey app?
Of course I do.
Okay, good answer. But it's a great app. Of course, all sorts of shows from around the world. It's an amazing app. So get it on your phone right now, AUDACY. It's pretty cool. You'll enjoy it, promise. Wanted to, by the way, of course, we're streaming right now on YouTube and Facebook. And if you want to hop in there, go to our pages, The Mark Hoke Show, and you can ask Phil a question. You can ask me a question. Say, Mark, why do you sound like crap? You know, or say, Phil, why are you putting your bathrobe on? We're going to answer that question.
Took it off.
He took it off. It's off now, but
yes,
you looked fuzzy. It was cool. But anyway, I do want to get in the world championship match for tonight, Phil, because I'm curious to get your thoughts, and we can get back to that card maybe later on if we have time in hour number two of the show. Samoa Joe, who a few years ago around this time was wearing a poncho doing commentary, and of course is now wearing the strap for AEW and doing a darn good job taking on Hangman, Adam Page, and Swerve Strickland. These three guys have been doing an unbelievable job getting ready for this match. Yeah. Who's going down tonight, Phil, and who's walking out with the AEW World Championship? I know.
I will say, because the second you mentioned the poncho, the first thing I thought of was that Swerve on his social media took the graphic of the match and replaced Samoa Joe with the image of Samoa Joe with the poncho on the graphic for the match. And I was like, this is awesome.
I know.
But I wouldn't be upset if Samoa Joe won. I wouldn't be upset if Swerve won. And to talk about Swerve for a moment, here's somebody. I feel like I took the whole last segment. I was saying maybe not great things that some people want to hear about AEW, though I love the AEW product. Here is Strick, who was failed by the WWE. There's no other way to put it. When you look at the success of and what he's been able to showcase since he's been on AEW, here is a superstar. Here is somebody who has risen above what a lot of people's expectations were of him and has showed up. There is so much of me that wants him to walk away with the championship. Adam Page, he has a big fan swell of support. He was one of the originals of AEW. I don't feel him as strongly as AEW World Champion, though. That's just me. Mm-hmm. That's Phil Stamper opinion. I think, though, this match is going to be hard-hitting. I think this match is going to be amazing. I think this is the match of the year right here in pro wrestling. I think this is going to be an absolute showcase. I am really, really, really looking forward to this match.
And you still haven't answered the question.
I didn't.
Come on, Phil.
I am stuck. It's going to be Samoa Joe or Swerve.
All right.
And I'm not upset with either. So let's say Samoa Joe retains.
I'm going with you. I think Swerve gets screwed over somehow, but Joe is going to walk out with the title. So keep Swerve rolling. Keep him in the chase.
Exactly. I was going to say, if done right, this is where you catapult Swerve to an entirely new dimension.
Yep.
I mean, he's there, but this match, I think, has this potential to really be that platform for him. Where then it's like there will be never a doubt again that he deserves to be in this picture and will be in this picture again.
Yep. I think that's the way to go. And, you know, eventually you're going to get Wardlow probably taken out Joe. And then Swerve comes after the Undisputed Kingdom and should be pretty interesting. I think that's a pretty good road. And then MJF will be back at some point.
Right.
That'll be fun. So I like that finish. I did want to make sure we got to talk about this. Well, we're going to have a couple minutes and maybe we won't get the discussion done, but we will. Major League Wrestling gets $20 million from a settlement with WWE over this antitrust situation where they were claiming that WWE was stopping them from bookings and not being able to be a part of network TV networks and so on. Phil, what did you think of this, man? That's 20 million smackaroos.
I really didn't expect that. I mean, I just didn't. I thought there was going to be so much in the way to have to, you know, be able to prove it and show it and all this stuff. The fact that, you know, it didn't get dismissed out of court, the fact that WWE looked at this and went, we need to resolve this. It was like, oh, wow, that this is a game changer for MLW, hopefully. You know, MLW has a television product. MLW is showcased, has a lot of great talent on it. But now if they can use this money to just put into their production, to put into their outlets, to put into a couple more names that they can bring in to help, again, just bring up that whole audience, I think they can do something special here. I'm excited about what they do next.
Yeah, this, I mean, if you haven't seen MLW, they, you know, they do have a TV contract out there. They're on TV, but they were trying to expand their operations and do some different things. And WWE, you know, supposedly blocked them. And apparently, you know, they proved enough in court that WWE said, yeah, maybe we were kind of bad boys. So it will be interesting to see what they do with it. And it's kind of the same story with a lot of smaller promotions. Put it into production. It's the way it's always been. I remember sitting with Jimmy Hart one time when he was talking about Ring of Honor and said, God, they need to up their production. They need to up their production. And I think MLW is no different. I think you need to take that money and you need to put it in production first and go from there. Because if you can make that product look better, you know, now you're a little more competitive in the marketplace. Because if it just looks like it's, you know, you're filming in a high school or a, you know, a small gym or something like that and using the spotlights in the roof, you know, it doesn't look like a special product. But there's a lot of talent there. There has been for years. So that would be what I'd do.
In the world of wrestling, so much of what you see is duct tape. Like, people don't know that behind the scenes what's holding up everything you're seeing. And I think there is something that I think MLW can harness. I'm hoping, though, that there's a way to bring up more of their talent, because they do have a lot of very talented people. And I think they've given a lot of people some opportunity. But I look at it sometimes, I'm like, but is that person ready? Like, and I don't know. And then you started looking at the bigger picture of the landscape of wrestling. And like, so many people are under a contract with WWE and AEW and TNA. Ooh.
Yeah, keep going. We got a couple seconds.
Oh, gotcha. That I'm just really hopeful that they can harness something with those who are remaining and deserving of that opportunity.
Yep. Of course, Hammerstone just coming out there. Jacob Fatu, that legendary feud they had. The opportunity is there now. Let's see what Major League Wrestling does with it. All right. Hour one's in the books. Phil Stamper saving me in here. God bless your soul, sir. I appreciate it. We're going to do another hour of the best in pro wrestling news and entertainment here on KDON 101.5 FM, the talk of Las Vegas. Stick around for more. It's time to talk about The Rock. Did he clean all this mess up that he made? Yeah, I'm maybe. Stick around, guys. We'll be right back with more on The Mark Hoke Show. We'll be right back.
Want more of The Mark Hoke Show? Follow us on Twitter at Mark Hoke Show, like us on Facebook at The Mark Hoke Show, and visit MarkHokeShow.com to keep up with everything happening with the show. And remember to check out all of our archive shows on YouTube at The Mark Hoke Show and download our podcasts at MarkHokeShow.podbean.com and all your favorite podcast outlets. So join The Mark Hoke Show family today, and thanks for listening.